Hour number two of the program, Bob Pompeiani and Joe Starkey just hit his tree wood out from under a tree. I saw the video he sent me. So he is playing golf, Austin, just so you know.
Oh, no surprise there, Bob.
He was stuck in between a tree, and somehow he finagled his body to get in there and hit his tree wood, and he got it back into play. So good for him. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. Right now, we're going to go out to the fan hotline, which is actually on audio. And there we see Nick Faribault from Penn Live. How are you today, Nick?
I'm doing well, Pomp. Thanks for having me on. It's a good Tuesday.
It is a good Tuesday. So, Austin will be part of this conversation as always. We have a lot to talk about with regard to the Steelers. And I guess the hot topic is TJ Watt. Have you learned anything new about this? Because it seems like there's all silence from the TJ Watt end. The last time we've seen anything from him is that peace sign that he delivered, and that's been it. Congrats on him and his wife. They had a new baby, so that's, I'm sure, taking up a lot of his time. But when do you see this thing coming to a head here with the Steelers and TJ Watt?
Yeah, I mean, everything I've heard is this thing's going to be a long, drawn-out battle. I mean, could it happen in the next few weeks? Sure. I know, Pomp, that there's some members of the Steelers front office that are having their own vacations in early July before training camp. So how much communication do you really have when all your guys are necessarily not in the building? I mean, it's going to be a thing that they want to get done before training camp. But I think it's going to be tough. And they are, I think, very close on average per year. From what I've heard, the raw money, right? It's 40 per year, 41 per year. That's not the issue here. It's guaranteed money really into the third year of the contract. And how long is this contract? I think TJ wants this contract to be longer than maybe the Steelers want it to be. I mean, he's going to be 31 this year in October. And getting money into that third year, that's what Myles Garrett was able to achieve when he got his mega deal from the Browns. But Watt, when he's going to want to reset the market, he's going to want to reset not only over that $40 million per year, but probably equalize the structure of the guaranteed money. And I think that for the Steelers, with how he performed down the stretch last year, that's just a lot of risk that they would take on doing that when he would be 34 years old. And so I don't necessarily think that one is going to be easy to compromise on for both these for both the sides, because I think they both want that, right? Steelers don't want it. TJ really wants it. So it's going to take a while. Wouldn't surprise me if this happens like last time, where it took 2 days, I think, before the season started, where they ended up actually signing him.
Yeah, but the difference back then, too, you'll recall, is that he was there for that mini camp and he didn't do much, and then he was in the hold-in situation. Do you ever think it can get to be a hold-out situation that TJ Watt wouldn't even show up?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case. Listen, I think Watt is happy how this has gone about, right? He kind of feels like the last priority for the Steelers in some ways, because they've made so many moves, right? DK Metcalf, Jalen Ramsey, all these different things have happened, and he's been the guy that's been here and hasn't had his money yet. He hasn't been fed yet, essentially, from what they've done. And so I think that's part of it. But I think a big part of this with TJ is you have to send a message about how serious you are. And for him, you know, having that security into your age 34 season, that's big. This is TJ's last big payday, right? I mean, how long is he really going to play for? I mean, he might get one more contract after this one, but unlikely, more likely than not, that this is his last NFL contract. So that is significant. And so getting that security late into your career, Cam Hayward wasn't able to get this, Pomp. You know, like, yeah. Cam had a great year last year, but he's basically playing on a year-to-year deal and could be cut at any time if the Steelers looked at it. TJ Watt doesn't want that type of contract. He wants the contract that says, I want to be in Pittsburgh for the rest of my career, so I know I don't have to move anywhere, right? And so I think that's a big part of it too. So could a holdout happen? Sure. I think the fact that they are closer on raw money than they were, well, there's the big difference between now and minicamp is the Steelers have come up on the raw money aspect. From what I believe right now, the offer on the table would make him the highest non-paid quarterback in football. So I do think he will exceed Myles Garrett's number eventually when he gets this deal. Or maybe the Steelers lower that money and he gets his guaranteed year. There's going to be trade-offs potentially, but I do think from what I know right now, that money exceeds Garrett's. And so I do think he's likelier to probably show up and hold in right now, but would it stun me if he held out? It wouldn't.
So, Nick, there is no chance that the Steelers will entertain any trade offers for TJ Watt. I know you put something out there, somebody you talked to, that basically said, like, hell no, there's not a possibility.
Yes.
Do you think that's still the case?
I mean, that's all I've heard. I've heard that that is not even a discussion at South Water Street. They haven't really even talked about trading TJ Watt. And kind of what the buzz is when you talk to people around the league of what would TJ Watt get, there's not a lot of people that say first round pick, right? If you trade your top edge rusher like that, your top pass rusher, you would hope so. But he's for all the reasons the Steelers are skeptical of giving him the third year guaranteed, a lot of teams are going to be skeptical about doing that too. And so you might get a second and a fifth or something like that rather than a first round pick. And there's just been no discussions at all within the Steelers organization about trading him. The focus is all on extending him. So maybe something changes later if this somehow gets even uglier. But for right now, there's really nothing there that points to a TJ Watt trade.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you and a lot of people who think that he will get what he needs. My question would be, do you think the Steelers, and I know what their policies are about not negotiating until you get to the final year, but do you think they probably would have liked to have taken a mulligan on this and look back last year and said, with 2 years out, we could extend him and before all these other guys get money? I don't know that they expected Myles Garrett to get what he got, but once Max Crosby did, the market continues to change. Do you think they have reservations about not dealing with him earlier in this process?
I do. I think they would have liked to have gotten this done early. Listen, Garrett was kind of looked like he was going to leave Cleveland, right?
I mean, that he put out a full page ad. Right? Can you imagine TJ doing that as a strategy?
Right. I mean, Garrett, what Pulley Public requested a trade out of Cleveland, and then all of a sudden, a few weeks later, he gets a mega deal that essentially gives him lots of control in the franchise and makes him the face of the franchise. That blew this market open. That's the big thing. I mean, he blew out Max Crosby's deal. Crosby got 35 and a half per year. If that was the number right now, Pomp, I think TJ is under contract.
I agree.
I really do. I don't think that would have been an issue for them. But the fact of the matter isn't only that he got that much money. The guaranteed structure is completely ridiculous. I mean, Myles Garrett's ending his career as a Cleveland Brown almost guaranteed, just off $88 million guaranteed of that mega deal. So Watt now is going to look at that deal, and Parsons is going to look at that deal, and Hendrickson, and all these top edge rushers, and they're going to want that same guaranteed structure. And I think that's put up a lot of fight within, say, the Bengals organization. Why hasn't Dallas signed Micah Parsons yet? Probably because of some of this going on right now. And I think the Steelers are in the same boat with Watt. So if they could go back in time and get this done before Myles Garrett was signed, I think everything would change. Not, if they did it last year, I mean, Watt would have gotten like 33 per year.
Yeah.
It would have been a way different story.
Who do you think's holding up the deal right now, Nick? The Steelers or Watt? Because I think it would be in the Steelers' best interest to sign him now before Parsons breaks the bank and before Hendrickson breaks the bank. But Watt probably thinks, you know what? I have some leverage here. Why not let Jerry overpay for Micah Parsons first?
I mean, I think the Steelers – I mean, Watt's probably holding up the deal just because he's holding out for that guaranteed kind of money, right? So I guess he was, but the Steelers aren't offering it. So the Steelers have bumped up their raw money offer. I think that's become clear. The Steelers are putting up together a pretty competitive offer. And while they're far apart on the guaranteed money, Watt really wants that to be a part of that. And I think that matters more for a guy that's at his age. I mean, TJ Watt wants that guaranteed money because it brings security. That is something that all old vets love in the NFL, is they want something that says, I'm going to be here. Especially when you're TJ, you know, you're a guy that's been with the Steelers, shown loyalty to the Steelers, and there's all these different things that he kind of looks at and says, I want to be a one-helmet guy. He feels like he should be treated like that. And so the Steelers waited out Cam Hayward last year. I mean, they did. Cam Hayward eventually caved in and signed their contract offer. The Steelers, I think, are going to try and wait out Watt too. But I do think the Steelers not offering that guaranteed year, the other guaranteed money, is what's holding this up. So that's the big sticking point here. And I don't think the contract is as long as Watt wants either. I think it's probably a year shorter than he probably wanted to.
Yeah. And Nick, I think this is going to be, as I said before, a little bit different than the last time. And knowing that it's Watt's final contract, knowing that he wants what he wants, and the Steelers are kind of pegged themselves into a situation now where they made all these deals. They brought in Aaron Rodgers. They traded for DK Metcalf. They brought in Jalen Ramsey. They're trying to salvage something out of 2025. But without TJ Watt, I don't know if that all matters. You know, so they know that I think he has leverage in this situation. Realistically, though, how much leverage do they have and how do they play that leverage if this thing does get, as you said earlier, uglier?
Yeah, I mean, the leverage they have right now is that, and TJ's leverage is I'm going to play not play games, right? I'm going to hold out and stay out of the season. And that's the Steelers' leverage, too, is like, no, you're not, right? Like, you're not going to sit out because even if TJ Watt decides to sit games out, he's going to play, right? He has to play, I think, 8 or 9 games to accrue a season to then hit free agency. I think the Steelers' leverage would be, well, if you want to do that, we'll just tag you next year. Like, that's the Steelers' leverage, right? We'll just hit the franchise tag with you. Now, I don't think the Steelers want to do that, obviously. And TJ's a franchise legend. The Steelers don't want a public kind of relations crisis on that end. But that is the Steelers' leverage is, hey, we can control, like, you for the next 2 years, realistically. And then when you're 33 and you want to hit free agency again, and who knows what you are at that point, you might only be half the player and you might not get anywhere near what you're getting right now from us, right? And so that's the Steelers' offer and kind of their leverage. And so the Steelers can play dirty like that if this gets ugly. And I think that's how they play it is, hey, we're going to – I think what they're going to say is, hey, we're willing to make you the highest non-paid quarterback in football right now. Just sign the contract. You're 30 – you're going to be 31. Edge rushers don't age gracefully, especially speed rushers like Watt, who's dealt with some injuries over the years. And so we're giving you guaranteed bag of cash that carries you into your mid-30s. I think that's their leverage because who knows how Watt's game ages. I mean, that is the golden question of this entire process.
And we've seen that over the years where, you know, there have been injuries at the end of the season and the production down the stretch last year was not there. So that's a big part of it also.
Talking to Nick Faribault of Penn Live, but Nick, is that the right decision? Like $40 million? I mean, are they making the right choice? I don't think they are. Like, I want to see them get it done.
Well, if they were going to get a second and a fifth round pick, I don't know if I'm a surprise to hear that, but I guess that's how it is right now, right? The second and fifth round pick, I would rather have him here, give him the money. They'll figure out a way to offset that as they move forward because Omar Khan is good about doing stuff like that. So, and they have money to spend based on next year, don't they? They have some guys coming off the books next year that they could still handle this. Nick?
Yeah, they do. I mean, listen, they have so much cap space in the future that it's not really a big issue to pay him because they're not paying a quarterback. I mean, that's the big thing, right, is you can afford to pay other large salaries when you aren't paying quarterbacks. And obviously, they aren't going to be paying a quarterback. We all think they're going to go get their quarterback next year in the draft. So that will be a rookie deal. And so it's an interesting question if they're doing the right thing. I actually think they are. And that's maybe something that a lot of people aren't expressing right now, but I don't think he'd get as much as people think he would on the open market. As I said, from what I've heard, I don't necessarily think they'd get a first-round pick. Here's how I'd put it, and I think Tom Pelissero made this point. Trey Hendrickson was the NFL sack leader last year, and the Bengals legitimately dangled him on the trade market and didn't get a first-round pick ever put on the table for him. Watt's probably not going to get it either. And so that's the big thing for me is if you're not going to get realistically good trade compensation, I mean, maybe you can look out there and flip him for another elite player. I guess that's maybe a route like the Steelers do with Ramsey and Smith or Fitzpatrick. I mean, I guess that's a route you could go. But there's no receiver out there right now. Terry McLaurin is a pipe dream. I don't think that's a
realistic thing
at all. That's what people will point to.
They need him down there, right? They got a young quarterback. Why would you do that?
Yeah, they're not moving him with Daniels there.
Right. Even if that contract situation's ugly, and that's not a good contract situation, you just expect that to get done because he's their top target. So there's no one like that you look at and say, oh, trading TJ Watt is worth it right now for. And so I think extending him is fine if you can have, as a team, some way to mitigate the risk. Giving him that guaranteed money to year three means TJ Watt better be really good into his age 34 season. And he's a speed rusher. And Pomp, as you and I know, explosiveness, speed, other athletic-based traits, they diminish the older you get. So TJ's going to have to reinvent his game too. So there's definitely risk. But given where the Steelers are and how much they want to win and how much they want to surround this culture – future with their rookie quarterback next year, more than likely. I do think actually signing Watt is probably better considering I don't think the trade offers are going to be as exorbitant as people think it will be.
Omar Khan gets a 3-year extension, Nick, day before the 4th of July fireworks go off. He's definitely been someone that has brought the boom with a lot of the decisions that he's made and the fireworks going off all offseason as the Steelers, all eyes have been on them. How would you assess, though, Khan's tenure since he's taken over for Kevin Colbert? Did he deserve the extension?
It's a lot of – it's pretty incomplete. I mean, we can't even really evaluate his first two draft classes that well. I mean, we don't actually know if Broderick Jones is going to be a good player or not yet. How good is Joey Porter Jr. and Keanu Benton? Like, it's tough. The Steelers kind of backed themselves into an odd corner by hiring him after the 2022 draft and only having the extension go through the 2026 draft. So it kind of had to happen. I think it's been very mixed. I think there's been some good things. As I said, I think the early draft classes look promising. There's good starters in there. I think he's made some really good moves on the margins. You know, you think about Deshaun Elliott, for example. He's completely overhauled how they work. He's a guy that will make any move happen that he thinks is going to help the team. DK Metcalf, Rodgers waiting out for him, looking at what they did to get Jalen Ramsey. So they take big swings now, but there's also plenty of misses on that. You look at some of the free agency moves they've made. For example, the cornerback handling before the Peterson deal, I mean, signing Patrick Peterson, trading for Dante Jackson, the Brandon Ayuk saga last year. There's a few things that you can point to that I think would also say it's been a mixed bag. And so I grade him like a B-minus, C-plus type. But the Steelers put themselves in a really odd spot with the timeline they kind of gave him. And there's not a lot, I think, to say he doesn't deserve the extension. But I also think there's not an overwhelming amount to say he does. And so the weird timeline has kind of made his tenure inconclusive so far. And so extending him, I guess, made sense.
Yeah, and quite frankly, the biggest test for him is next year. What he does, what they do, and I always say they, because I think it is a they situation over. I think Mike Tomlin carries a lot of weight in what decisions are made, and next year will be big. But I want to ask you about two of the guys they brought in here, because these are not your normal players who you would expect to be at one position. I'm talking about Jalen Ramsey and also Jonnu Smith, more specifically him, Nick, because they need a second wide receiver. He fits that image because of what he did last year, and he's very good at running away from people as a big guy over the middle. He can outrace linebackers and safety guys. Where do you see those two guys? Are they sort of hybrid in the sense that they'll be moving around a lot on both sides of the ball?
Yeah, I mean, Ramsey absolutely is. He's going to play outside. He's going to play slot corner. He'll play in dime backer. He'll play a little safety. He'll kind of play wherever you need him, right? You need him to cover tight ends. You need him to be an eraser of the number one receiver. He can do all of that. And so he's going to play the star position he did in Los Angeles, which is just basically meaning go take out the most dangerous guy. Go be a Swiss Army knife in sub packages. And the Steelers are probably going to play a lot more nickel this year so they can have him, Slay, and Porter all on the field together. So Ramsey just opens up a lot of what they can do. He's a big guy, too. He's like 6'1", 220, so he can blitz. That's a nice help for them. They can do a lot of different things. He's so smart. He's a ball magnet. There's a lot of really good things to like about Jalen Ramsey's game. As versatile as Micah Fitzpatrick was, Jalen Ramsey somehow is more versatile. I mean, that's kind of what they got here. They kind of got a supercharged chess piece here. So he's someone that absolutely kind of goes in there. I don't think Jonnu is a requisite fix for wide receiver two. I think he's a different weapon entirely, Bob. Like, I think he is a really good weapon that they kind of needed. Like, they needed someone that could just catch a flat 2 yards and take it for 20, right? They need someone that can create those yak yards and elevate the screen game, and Jonnu can do that. He's a guy that just gets to the flat, catches it, and turns it into something. That's kind of what he is. He can split out. He can be a really good receiver, and you know, spread formations, empty, shotgun. Aaron Rodgers is going to love Jonnu Smith. I have no question about it. He is the perfect type of fit for a guy like Aaron Rodgers, but he's not their wide receiver two, and I do think he can be their no-two option, but I do think they need another wide receiver because defenses are going to react to Jonnu in different ways than they're going to react to a wide receiver. So, you know, they need a blocking wide receiver, I think, someone that can really block but stretch the field, and so I think Gabe Davis actually makes a lot of sense for them now as the wide receiver two, who maybe gets a less of a snap share than they did last year, because the Steelers are going to play so much two and three tight end this year with the guys they got in that room. But I think if you could take some pressure off Jonnu on the blocking side, I think that's where you really unleash him.
Does Amari Cooper pique your interest at all?
I mean,
you've been
I
on
guess,
that bandwagon for a while, the Amari Cooper bandwagon.
Him or Keenan Allen, but it seems like heard Pony and Meller say the other day that Keenan Allen on a podcast or whatever said that he's not going to play for the Steelers. So that one's out the window. Amari Cooper had such a bad case of the drops in Dallas, and it continued in Cleveland. Like, there are a lot of gaffes in his game, I think. But right now, he might be the best possible option, Nick, as much as I really don't like him that much. But, I mean, that's why I got to push for it.
I mean, I guess, yeah, he's kind of that upside option. I mean, Keenan Allen, I mean, just turn on a few tapes or highlights. The guy looks like he's running with cement shoes on. Like, I don't know how he got 800 yards last year. It's pretty impressive, actually, that he did. But I think that's going to keep dropping. Like, it looks like his game is kind of on the cliff. Amari Cooper, I mean, he was getting outsnapped by Matt Collins last year in the playoffs. I don't love that. Gabe Davis, I think, though, and I keep going back to this, Austin, I actually think Gabe Davis is their best option. I really do. And when I think about why, I think when they go into 11 personnel, which is their three wide receiver sets, or their 12 personnel, their two tight end sets, I think they need a guy that can really block well at wide receiver. Now, DK can do that, and so that's nice. But they don't really have a second guy. I mean, they do in Robert Woods, but it'd be nice to have a guy that's more of a threat down the field. Because Jonnu and Freiermuth, you're going to want to play those two together, but that's not an elite blocking duo. I mean, Jonnu is not good at that. And Pat, I think, had his best year, so let's see if he can take another step there. But he's not a plus blocker yet at tight end. You can use that extra guy at wide receiver to kind of take some pressure off them. So teams still react to 12 personnel like how they should react to 12 personnel. You don't want that extra safety on the field, because if you have that extra safety on the field, it erases Jonnu's kind of ability to dictate personnel. And so I think the way Gabe Davis actually plays football fits the team better. I think the best pure talent and upside is probably Cooper. But I think for fit right now, I actually like Gabe Davis the best.
So you don't think that Davis is just a Josh Allen creation of what he was in Buffalo after really not doing anything in Jacksonville, was banged up?
I mean, I think he was large part of Josh Allen creation. But can he be someone that gets you 500, 600 yards and blocks his behind off? I think so. And I think that's actually good for the Steelers as a wide receiver two option this year, just as an outside receiver. As long as he can stay healthy. So I do think, you know, he's not going to put up 800, 900 yards like he maybe did with Allen that one year, but can he be at least a solid option for you and someone that has a high floor? I think he can. And that's, I think, what they actually need to look for. I think instead of looking for one body right now, given who's on the market that can be your sole wide receiver too, they need to look at guys that can have different skill sets and cobble it together. So Gabe Davis plus Calvin Austin plus Roman Wilson, all bringing it together and kind of creating a wide receiver two requisite, while your number two and three options are actually a tight end in Freiermuth and Smith.
Oh, Nick Faribault's been with us, and you're going to stay with us, right? All the way until the top of the hour?
Yep.
All right. We appreciate that, Nick. And we'll get into those two guys you just mentioned, Calvin Austin and Roman Wilson, and maybe the Steelers' reluctance at this point to go out and get somebody else because they feel pretty good about those two. We'll talk about that and more.